ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। We'll chant verses 28 to 32. Chapter 10. Ayudhanamaham Vajram Ayudhanamaham Vajram Venunamasmi Kamadho Venunamasmi Kamadho Prajanaschasmi Kandarpah Prajanaschasmi Kandarpah Sarpanamasmi Vasukihi Sarpanamasmi Vasukihi Ayudhanamaham Vajram Venunamasmi Kamadho Prajanaschasmi Kandarpah Sarpanamasmi Vasukihi Anantaschasmi Nagana Anantaschasmi Nagana Varuno Yada Samaham Varuno Yada Samaham Pitra Namaryama Chasmi Pitra Namaryama Chasmi Yamasam Yamatamaham Yamasam Yamatamaham Anantaschasmi Nagana Varuno Yada Samaham Pitru Namaryama Chasmi Yamasam Yamatamaham Prahladaschasmi Daityanam Prahladaschasmi Daityanam Kalakalayatamaham Kalakalayatamaham Mruganam Chamrugendroham Mruganam Chamrugendroham Vainateyascha Pakshinam Vainateyascha Pakshinam Prahladaschasmi Daityanam Kalakalayatamaham Mruganam Chamrugendroham Vainateyascha Pakshinam Pavanapavatamasmi Pavanapavatamasmi Ramashastravritamaham Ramashastravritamaham Jashanam Makarashchasmi Jashanam Makarashchasmi Strotasamasmi Janavi Strotasamasmi Janavi Pavanapavatamasmi Ramashastravritamaham Jashanam Makarashchasmi Strotasamasmi Janavi Sarganamadirantascha Sarganamadirantascha Madhyam Chaivaham Arjuna Madhyam Chaivaham Arjuna Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam Vada Pravadatamaham Vada Pravadatamaham Sarganamadirantascha Madhyam Chaivaham Arjuna Adhyatma Vidya Vidyanam Vada Pravadatamaham. Chapter 10, Vibhuti Yoga. The literal translation of this is the Yoga of Supreme Glory. Also, Vibhuti and Yoga. Yoga comes from the root yuj, which means to be united with the self, union with the self. It is the self that has manifested as this entire universe. That is the idea propagated in Vedanta. Vedanta says, Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya. Vedanta does not say there is one God. Definitely Vedanta doesn't say there are many gods. And it does not say there is one God also. Vedanta says there is only God. Brahma Satyam Jagat Nitya. There is nothing else other than God. Like, what is there is only carbon, it has manifested as charcoal, it is manifested as diamond, etc. Those are the examples Vedanta gives to substantiate this point that there is only Brahman, which itself has manifested as this world. So the glory, the manifestation is what is called as Vibhuti. Vibhuti is the manifestation of Brahman, which in its essence remains as imperishable, unmanifest reality. So this unmanifest, imperishable reality has manifested itself as this perishable unreality. Perishable, manifested world. This is the concept. So in the beginning of this chapter, Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna to talk in detail the glory of Brahman. So he says, let me listen to you speaking of the vibhuti of yourself, Brahman. And why does he want to listen to the vibhuti? He says, whatever you said till now, till chapter 9, I completely agree with you, but I would like to hear more about the glory, the vibhuti, the manifestation of Brahman, so that in what all aspects may I think of you. This is for meditation purpose. This chapter, 11th chapter, all these chapters are for meditation purpose. The idea is this. Everyone is essentially free. That is why everyone aspires to be free. The ultimate goal of every human being is moksha. It's not the scriptures are telling you to attain moksha. Because some people ask me, why should I attain moksha? I am fine here. I don't want any moksha, nothing. That's actually wrong, because what you actually want is freedom. You do not want to be told. Nobody likes to be told, wear this clothes, don't wear this clothes, don't sit like this, sit like that. Why are you doing this? Why are you going to do like this? Nobody likes to be told. Everybody wants to be free. Right? So the only idea is that you are thinking that you will be free this way, that way. In whichever way you try, you are not being free, because what is really conditioning you, what is really binding you, is your mind and your desires. So that is why Vedanta says, you are actually free. Within bracket you can put God. You are actually free coupled with desires. So who is Mamta? Freedom plus desires. Right? So freedom plus desires equals Mamta. So how can Mamta really become free? Well, she rises above desires. Right? And what are desires? Desires are nothing but thoughts running from you to the world outside. What we call as Kama. Kama. Right? Now, what is spirituality? That science which helps you to rise above desires and thoughts, so that you become absolutely free. To rise above desire, you can't suppress the desire, but you have to sublimate the desire. What is that? Not fighting against the desires, but changing the direction. Instead of from you to the world outside, you shift the desire to move from you to the Atma within. The direction has to be changed. Instead of energy flowing from Sahasrara to downward, turn it upward. The energy flows from you to the world outside, you are dissipating it. When you allow the energy to flow from you to the self within, you are integrating it. That's all. So Vedanta is not saying, do not wish. It's not saying, suppress your desire. All it's saying is, sublimate your desire by taking it inward. Right. So if you want it to turn inward, you require focus. If you allow the desires to direct you, then without focus, you will be running helter-skelter and dissipating the energy. Instead, now what you have to do is, this desire which is there as energy within you, you got to focus. So Arjuna is asking, talk about your manifestation so that I can focus my energy on all those. So in other words, as if my mind is going to the world outside. Right? the way it is going now, it is getting dissipated. But if you can give me a technique in which I can integrate it rather than dissipating it, all I want is that. So what Sri Krishna says is, anywhere your mind is going to, creep. Anywhere your mind is going to, the world is outside. For example, I give you tree. Okay, of the trees I am Ashwatthama. Of the animals I am lion. Like that. But interestingly, when he starts off talking about manifestation, first thing he talks about is Atma within. First to glory he talks about Brahman and Atma within. Though all these glories are there, real glory is self within. So many manifestations he talks about. And he identifies the best. Why does he identify with the best? If you do not see Atma, the Brahman in the best, even though it is pervading the world, it is impossible to see it in the worst. Therefore he talks about the best in every chief and everything. And also when he talks about that, he is trying to make your thoughts go back to the source. That's the idea. The technique in which he provides it to you is, the thoughts will go backwards. Like for example, in 26, he was talking about of horses know me as Ujjayishravas, born of nectar of lordly elephants, Airavata, and of men, the king. This is the last verse we saw. Now, Ujjayishravas, Airavata, what are they? They are the products of churning the milky ocean. It is, you won't find Ujjayishravas outside. Of the horses and Ujjayishravas. What is he trying to say is, the mind when it is churned, the products got are this. The milky ocean is nothing but your own mind. When that is churned, these are the products got. So when you study this, he is trying to talk about the subtler, basically to go inward. Then he says, of the men I am the king. What is so special about the king?
He should be selfless.
When you say Lord,
everyone, yeah.
You say Lord, in the presence of Lord, everything bristles to activity. Lord is not bound by any obligation. In his presence, everything bristles to activity. In the presence of Atma, the manifestation happens. He remains inactive, eliminating all the activities. Whereas the men and all of us, we are bound by our obligation. Whereas the Lord simply enters, plays and gets out. On his accord. He decides. Right? Like many of these stories you have heard. See for example, Julius Caesar's story. The day he was going to be assassinated by the senators, they planned all that. And they were going to assassinate him, so few of them had come to take him as a routine to the Senate. And when he was about to go, his wife said, I dreamt a very bad dream today, you please do not go. Something negative might happen, so do not go. He says, what are you talking? Leaving all this bad dream and all that, bad woman? And he says, no, I'm going. Then she continues, he says, shalom, for your sake I will not go. You know? So then, one of the senators asked, if you don't come, what reason may I give to the senators that you have not come? Caesar says, reason? Caesar doesn't have to give any reason. You understand? Caesar doesn't have to just say Caesar doesn't will to come. So today, tomorrow the senator. This is how the king will function, right? This need not be taken as one would function on the human family. That is not to be understood here. King decides to live on his own account terms. nobody controls it. He controls everything. In his presence, everything functions. So what is that? That source. In the presence of the king, lordly, lord, everything functions. Lord is not bound by anything. So he is talking about that. That is me. That is Atma. So all these manifestations that he talks about, he is trying to get you inward, inward, inward. That's right. The mind tends to go run outward. All he tries to do with this various manifestations that he gives is to get you to this source. That's all you need to do. You don't have to fight with your desires. All you need to do is direct it. When you watch your thoughts, the thought gets sublimated. If you fight with your thoughts, the thoughts will multiply. When you fight with your mind, mind will only become strong. But when you watch your mind, mind will become sublimated. It's like the same way you handle your children also. You bring in do's and don'ts, they will rebel. But if you watch them, be a witness, they will abide by the rules. So this is how a king functions. He enters, plays on his own terms. It's a playground for him. He's not tainted by anything. He is not bound by any duty. So he says, of men, I am the king. Of the elephant, I am Airavata. Something internal, nothing to do with external. So many we have seen already till 39-40 he discusses manifestation. That in 40 days it's still not complete. Because the entire universe is me finding one finding out, isn't it? It won't be there won't be any end to it. So therefore I am stopping here with this. All you need to do is take anything that inspires you and focus on that and try to get backwards, not run forward. That's the whole idea. So some of the pointers that he has given, for example, Ashwatha tree. I am the Ashwatha tree of all the trees. The interesting thing about Ashwatha, it continues and continues and continues. The people tree is one of the banyan tree variety. You know, it lives much longer. That is one speciality about it's eternal. So he is comparing that eternal aspect. And secondly, Ashwatha tree is the only tree under which you can creep in night also, at night. Why? Because at night also it gives out oxygen. All other trees at night gives carbon dioxide. Whereas Ashwatha gives oxygen at night also. So that is the speciality of that tree. Similarly, a man of perfection, in the night also he is awake. Whereas we are at least even during the day, in the sense, we are at least during the day in the sense, we are meandering propelled by our desires. Whereas he, even in night when he is asleep, he is awake. He is in awareness. So like that, so many, and then he said, of the Siddhas and Kapila. Kapila Muni is the one who gave Samkhya philosophy. And Samkhya philosophy is what we discussed in the second chapter. The very second chapter is called Samkhya Yoga. What is the main thing that Samkhya philosophy talks about? The distinction between Purusha and Prakriti. And Samkhya Muni clearly distinguishes Purusha from Prakriti by saying Prakriti is the changing gunas, the matter. Purusha is the changeless spirit, which has no gunas, nothing. Purusha envelops the Prakriti. Prakriti is the doer. Purusha is a non-doer. The only thing that needs to be gained is knowledge for it to be true. That is why he said, of the sages, I am Kapila. Why? Because anything you do, you will not get rid of your ignorance. Because action itself is a product of ignorance. Whereas you are already free. If you are not free,
you can do something to become free. You are already free, but out of ignorance you are thinking you are bound. Then what is the solution to you? Clear knowledge about yourself. Out of ignorance now you are thinking yourself to be this individual, Lakshmi Narayan, Amin, etc. Right? By knowledge, you clearly understand you are not Amin. Amin is the manifestation, form and name. You are not the form and name, but you are the essence. Essence, the moment you understand what the essence is, you instantly become free. So therefore he says, of Siddhas, the great souls, I am Kapila. As Kapila says, he gives this, he says, only thing that will help you is knowledge, nothing else. All other things will help you indirectly by preparing you to gain that knowledge. Any number of times you hear this, the crystal doesn't click in you. It doesn't get crystallized. Why? Because you are not yet ready. So you can prepare yourself through all other sadhanas. Ultimately, what you need to understand is, you are essentially Atma, which is ever free, stainless, Nirmala. When somebody is nameless, Nirmala, what does it mean?
Mal.
There is absolutely no mal, there is no dirt other than, there is nothing else other than Atma. So from where the dirt can come? It is all your imagination. So therefore Vedanta says, of Siddha, Sri Krishna here says, of Siddha I am Kapila. Only thing that will save you is knowledge. Get back to that knowledge. Like that so many various manifestations he's talked about. But remember, in all these manifestations, he just wants you to focus so that the thoughts go backwards. That's the only idea, nothing else. Next verse.
Ayudhanamaham vajram Dehunamasmi kamadho Prajanaschatmi kandarpah Sarpanamasmi vasukihi Ayudhanamaham vajram Dehunamasmi kamadho Prajanaschatmi kandarpah Sarpanamasmi vasukihi Ayudhanam aham vajram. Of weapons and Vajra. Vajra is a thunderbolt of Indra. The thunderbolt of Indra, Vajra, is made of the tapas of a sage. So that's the story behind the thunderbolt. From a sage ties, the product of his tapas, the bones, the bone marrow of a sage, the Vajra is made, as it were, as per the Puranas. So in other words, what he is trying to say is, a sage who has consolidated his energy through his tapas. What is tapas? We said tapas has two aspects. What are the two aspects of tapas? Conserving the energy that gets dissipated in the lower channel. And the energy thus conserved is directed towards the highest, that is tapas. In other words, your desires are going helter-skelter without any direction through your senses. As a result of which, your energy is getting dissipated. Well, the tapas, what does he do? He channelizes his desires towards a higher goal. So he says, such a sage who conserves the energy through tapas, directing them towards the self within, from such a sage, it was made, the thunderbolt. So the real power you get, because it is said that on whomsoever the thunderbolt is hurled, they will die, they will perish.
That's the power of this thunderbolt. In fact, this thunderbolt was given to Karna by Indra. And that Sri Krishna intelligently made him use against Ghatotkaja. Otherwise, Karna was saving it to be used against Arjuna. Sri Krishna brings in Ghatotkaja there, and Karna was forced to use that Kaja against Ghatotkaja. So in other words, that real power is not in dissipation of your energy, but in conservation and directing it towards higher. So that is what he is trying to point out here when he says, of weapons, I am Vajra. See, for everything there will be some misunderstanding. So a lot of these pointers, people have taken it literally and they just simply worship that. And he said, off the trees I am Ashwatthama, they are just simply worshipping Ashwatthama without understanding the real meaning behind it. Same thing they do with this Vajra and all these things. You got to understand that ultimately you got to do the tapas. That is what he is trying to emphasize here. Of cows I am Kamadu. Kamadrenu. Kamadrenu was a cow which was there with Sage Vasishtha. Right? And when Kaushika Maharaj, who ultimately became Sage Vishwamitra, saw this cow with Sage Vasishtha when he was a king, he said, what is this cow going to do being in an ashram? It should be in my kingdom. Why don't you give it to me? Vasishtha said, please take it. If you want to keep it, keep it. As long as the cow comes with you. And when they tried to take the cow with them, the cow wouldn't go. So they tried to force. The entire army of Kaushika Maharaj fought with Kamadenu and they lost the battle. What is this showing? What is this story showing? The entire Kaushika Maharaj army fighting with the Kamadenu lost the battle. And the Kamadenu was with Sage Vasishtha. What is the story? What do you understand from this story?
He captured his desire.
See, power, Kamadenu is anything you desire, anything you pray for, it will do. Kamadenu fulfills you, satisfies you. The real power of absolute satisfaction is there only in a sage, not through acquisition. It is through sublimation of your desires, by rising above your desires. See, you can only give what you have in abundance. You can never give the fact you are giving away. I'm talking about true giving. I'm not talking about giving to get something in return. Then you are not really giving. What you give means it is in abundance with you. So in a sage like Vasishtha, the things are in abundance because he's reached the self within. So a king who is only commanding an army is the sign of acquisition here. Who's got lot of acquisition, but who doesn't have real power. So when he says, of the cows I am Kamadev, what he is trying to tell you here is, not to fulfill your desires externally, like Kaushika Maharaj did. Try to go within, which Kaushika Maharaj ultimately did, and become Vishwamitra, a friend of the entire Vishwa. Thereafter, whatever you wish, will come to existence. So here again through this pointer, saying that I am Kamadenu of the cows, he is trying to say the same thing, rise above your desires. If you wish to see me, the real Mahima is going beyond desires. And then next comes a very, very interesting pointer. I am Kandarpa, the progenitor, the Kamadeva. I am Kamadeva. Krishna identifying with Kamadeva. Very, very interesting. Who is this Kamadeva? no other religion. In fact, in all other religion, the karma aspect is pointed out as sin. You understand? Whereas in Hinduism, they talk about it as God. Here he is saying, Krishna is identifying, I am Kama Devu. I'm sorry, I am a Kama Deva. What is he trying to say here? It's a principle only which I have discussed many times. When do you become the Lord of Kama?
When you conquer.
You say Lord of Kama means under your control. What does it mean?
Don't let your mind go like this.
First point to be understood is karma is not wrong. Karma is not sin. The day you think karma is sin, you will be condemned by it. You will never write about it. First point to be understood here. Second point is the energy flowing outward and getting dissipated is what is called as karma. The same energy, if you get behind it and direct it upward rather than dissipating it, you will become the lord of it, you will become the self within. So you got to cross the karma. So when Krishna says, I am Kama Deva, I am somebody who has crossed the karma. That's what we need to understand here. You will cross the karma when you do not condemn it by saying it is something against life. No. Anything when you understand, then you will be able to govern, control. So you are going to understand the karma also. So you say, I am Kandarpa, the progenitor. The person who has directed the desires upward and again control over it totally. So that is me. And then of serpents I am Vasuki. There are two types of serpents. One is single-headed, one is many-headed. Of the single-headed serpents, Vasuki is said to be the king. So here again it is identifying with the best, Vasuki. And this Vasuki serpent was worn as a ring by Lord Shiva. What does that show? It shows that usually serpent is identified with ego. Right? Poisonous. Whereas the same thing, when it is worn as a ring by Lord Shiva, what is it showing? One who has conquered the ego. So he is saying, by saying that I am the of the serpent I am Vasuki, he is talking about you will gain this glory by conquering the ego and its egocentric desires. Next verse.
Anantaschasmi nagana varno yaga samaham varno yaga samaham pitru namaryamachasmi pitru namaryamachasmi yamasamyamatamaham anantaschasmi nagana varno yaga samaham pitru namaryamachasmi yamasamyamamaham.
It's the 1029.
I am Ananta of Nagas. Now this Ananta is the, when you talk about Nagas, you talk about thousand-headed snakes. See, this is the many-headed snakes. Of the many-headed snakes, I am Ananta. The egocentric desire. The ego is one, which is the Vasuki. The egocentric desires are many. Lord Vishnu is said to be sleeping on Ananta. In fact, Lord Vishnu is called as Ananta Shayanam. Ananta Shayana. Ananta Shayana means one who is sleeping on the snake Ananta. So when he says, I am Ananta of Naga, what is he trying to say? One who has conquered the egocentric desires. So I am that. And then I am Varuna of water beings.
So the Ananta is egocentric desire.
Yes.
And the single-headed is ego.
Single-headed snake represents ego. The multiple-headed snake represents egocentric desires. From one ego, multiple desires come up, egocentric, many-headed. So if you want to be the Lord, whether Shiva or Vishnu, you have to rise above your ego, egoistic attitude and egocentric desires. And Varuna of water beings. Varuna is again the Lord of all the water beings. Varuna Bhagwan. See, he is identifying with the Deva. Remember this. Rakshasa and Deva. What are they?
Good and bad.
He said good and bad. What is this?
Tendency.
End of the day, everything is nothing but mind. Please understand this. Everything is nothing but mind. When the mind is a servant of egocentric desires, and egoistic attitude, it becomes us. And the same mind frees itself from the egocentric desires and egoistic attitude and is rising towards the self within. It becomes good. Simple. Are you with me? And finally, when it has reached the self, you go beyond mind. Which is beyond good and bad. So therefore, he is talking about various devas. And one of the devas he is talking about is Varuna Devata. Again pointing you to rise above your egoistic and egocentric desires. Of forefathers, I am Aryama. The principal, the king, the highest, the chief of them, the Aryama. I am Yama of controllers. This is very, very interesting.
Yama?
Controllers. Yama, Lord Yama. The moment you think of Lord Yama, you get frightened. The thing is, of all the controllers, Yama never falters.
Never falters.
The same. Death is something which is certain, inevitable. So, we all look at death as something negative. But Vedanta looks at death as positive. Because only in the death of the old order, the new order can be brought about. Lord Tennyson says, old order changes yielding place to the new. So we are scared of death. Here Sri Krishna says, I am death. In other words, I am just a law. You, according to your karma, will go through whatever you have to go through. Death doesn't see whether you are a king or a soldier, whether you are the richest or the poorest, whether you are Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. Doesn't see. Isn't it? Simply establish itself. I am that. We have a lot of different concepts of God. Oh, is God there? If God is there, why is this tsunami happening? This is happening. All he is trying to say is, I am the law. Simply meticulously function like Yama. You may be the king, you may be the servant, you may be Brahmana, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Shudra, rich, poor, doesn't matter. If your karma demands you to go through death, it will establish itself on you. Nobody can stop it. So you say, I am that death. In a sense, you should be able to see the divinity in the death also. Then death will not frighten you. In fact, death is for our good only, like I said. You understand the principle, we have already discussed this in the second chapter, many chapters when we talked about, where he referred to the body as a vesture, to a vesture. Vatamsi jirnani yata vihaya navani krinnati naropara. Verse 22, chapter 2, when we discussed, I said, he is comparing body to a vesture. This body is only the vesture. There I pointed out the wearer determines when the cloth is worn. You go to your office for about 9 hours, 10 hours in the office, you are wearing the same clothes because you are going in the AC car, office is air conditioned, coming back in the AC car, you don't find the cloth soiled. Doesn't require to be changed for 8 hours, 9 hours. Come back home, change your clothes, go to gym or play tennis. Come back after 1 hour. Within 1 hour, you find them dirty. Throw them and wear another one. Right? You determine, you decide when the clothes are worn. In other words, for your good, you change the cloth and wear the new one. So exactly like that, for our sake, death happens. The same, when your desires are no more possible to be exhausted through this body and they require a new body or an environment for it to be exhausted, the karma denies it. It gives up this body, it takes up a new one. So once we understand this, we say, I am Yama of controls. Meticulous, the whole thing is controlled by me through this changing process. So once I understand this, then I will not resist the change. How do I go beyond change? How do I go beyond samsara? By not resisting it. If I should not resist it, I should understand it. As long as I have not understood it, I will be resisting it. See, what is this fear? The basis of any fear is ignorance. Basis of any fear is nothing but ignorance. The moment you are ignorant, then the fear comes up, you do not want to face it.
Isn't it sometimes out of fact? Actually, because you know that I can't jump down a mountain because I know I'll die. I know it's going to hurt me.
Yeah, yeah, but if you go further deep, what is that fear coming from? Because you are thinking you will die. You do not understand
you
that
you
are...
die. You will get hurt.
Whatever, hurt. So you are beyond hurt, you don't understand. When you really gain the knowledge that you are beyond hurt, you will not foolishly jump and get hurt. But you will not be... scared. See, please understand. Fearless does not mean you foolishly try to fight against the law, established law. That is not fearlessness. That only means that you are a fool. Anybody who does that, isn't it? Fearless person is one who understands, as a result of which he is not scared of the consequences. So when you understand it that way, the fear is there, I will get hurt. The moment I go deep and understand that I am actually beyond getting hurt, what gets hurt is only the body. Then the fear that disease may come, my body may get hurt, I may die, you will not have any fear of any of this. So if you go deep into any fear, the root is ignorance. People were scared of thunder and lightning once upon a time. But when science understood that and started explaining, you don't fear that anymore. You use that. You take it up, you use that and make it to your advantage. That's what will happen. So the moment you have fear, any fear, immediately this should strike you. The fear is because I am somewhere ignorant in the day. And out of that ignorance, my eyes, my mind and everything is blurred. I become deluded. I don't see things correctly. The moment I start seeing things correctly, fear will go away. So what do I have to do? All I need to do is continue staring at it. So that the blurredness goes and I start seeing it as it is. and I start seeing it as it is, it will not scare me anymore. That's the whole thing. The moment you start running out of the ignorance, the fear continues. In fact, it starts becoming more and more. The only way you can get rid of any fear is with this clear understanding. There is fear means there is ignorance somewhere. And due to this, fear can only come because of these reasons: ignorance, selfishness, destructive nature. The moment I cross these three, there can be no fear of anything for the matter. So the moment I understand how the whole thing functions, then death can never scare me. Because I understand that I am actually immortal. So that is why he is saying, I am immortal and I am death also. Next.
Pralādaścāsmi daityānām Pralādaścāsmi daityānām Kālakkalayatāmaham Kālakkalayatāmaham Mṛgānām ca mṛgendroham Mṛgānām ca mṛgendroham Vainatteyascha pakṣinām Vainatteyascha pakṣinām Pralādaścāsmi daityānām Kālakkalayatāmaham Mṛgānām ca mṛgendroham Vainatteyascha pakṣinām.
This is one of the most beautiful, again, another beautiful pointer. I am Pralada of Daityas. The of the Rakshasas, I am Pralada. What is defining about Pralada of all the Rakshasas? Pralada belongs to Rakshasa family. Right, but he was the greatest of all Bhaktas. What do you understand from that? Do you require any training to flow in the direction of the river?
No.
You understand? It is so easy to be a rakshasa amongst the rakshasas, which is what all of us are. Simply living to fulfill our desires. Kaupyo Jagra. Right? Life is to simply go on fulfilling desires after desires. Whereas Pralada is a symbolism of people who question that. Is that the end all and be all of life? Having questioned that, instead of accepting that as the norm, life is to simply fulfill the desires. You understand? Who set his energy inward? That is the pointer. So whenever you talk about Pralada, in other words, he's trying to say that the situations don't chisel you. You can chisel yourself in spite of all the odds stacked against you. Where there is a will, there is a way. It all depends, right? In the same situation, you can easily say, well, the situation is like this, therefore I continue to be so. All you need to do is, instead of blaming the situation, just set your sail in the opposite direction. Situation can be converted for your advantage. And Pralada was one such symbolism. Like I told you, all that Sri Krishna wants to do is to tell you, do not fight with desire. Simply direct them towards a higher goal. Focus. I am Pralada of Daityas. Who was absolutely fearless, who saw divinity everywhere. And then he said, I am time of reckoners. Of all calculators, I am time. Very, very interesting. Time There is only that moment. You miss that moment, next moment comes. You miss that moment, next moment comes. Isn't it? That moment is equal for everybody. It doesn't change for you, change for me. It remains the same for everyone. And you miss that, it goes. So he says, of all the calculators, I am the time. You miss that moment, you miss that calculation, it's gone. Living in the moment, basically. He's trying to point out by saying, I am time of reckoners. He's trying to tell you, if you want to capture me, you got to stay in the moment, not in the future. Of bees, I am lion, and of birds, I am vinatier. Of bees, I am lion. What is he trying to say? Not that you simply sit and worship lion. Lion means?
Strength.
What is the strength of a lion? Same thing with Vainatheya. Vainatheya is one variety of an eagle. So what is he pointing out when he says eagle and lion?
Strong.
What is real strength?
Being fearless.
Any dependence is a weakness. You'll never find lion going in groups. Pigs will be going in groups. Pigeon will be going in groups. Eagle will be flying alone, high. Right? So when he talks about I am lion, I am eagle, is trying to say, if you want to find me in those who are independent. Find me in independence, not in dependence. By becoming dependent, you will never find me. The real vibhuti, the glory, is in being independent, not in being dependent. We are all dependent. See, and the most difficult thing is, it is easy to be independent in its absence. Can you be independent in its presence? It's very difficult. You will either find the sage and accept him as the sage who has nothing to be dependent on. You will never accept somebody as a sage who has everything around him, yet he is independent, which you do not know. The real strength is when everything is around you, you still be independent of it. That is Vedanta.
That also means not attached.
That's what it means. Not being dependent on anything for your inner joy. In the second chapter, Arjuna asks for the signs of man of perfection. Siddha Prajna portion. How does he sit? How does he walk? How does he talk and all that? No sign is external sign. Prajahati yada kaman sarvam partha manogatam atmani eva atmana tushtaha siddha prajna sadochate dukkeshu anupriknamanaha sukeshu vigatasprasa vita raga bhaya krodaha tadhir nirchate yasarva prana visneha tatra pishbashvam nabi nandati nadveshti tatya prajna pratishta. All this when he talks about, nothing is external. Basically trying to say, one who is absolutely independent. Like a lion, like an eagle. Desires make you become dependent. The moment you have a desire, you will become dependent. Because desire is nothing but potential agitation. It will immediately bind you to the object of its fulfillment. The moment a desire comes, you become dependent. So real independence is what? Being desirous. And that is what he is trying to signify by pointing out, saying, I am lion, I am Vainateya, Garuda, eagle, soaring so high, always soaring in the height of Atma Vidhi, absolutely independent. It's not easy. See, the point is, nothing is around you, you can say, well, I am independent. When things are around you, how much independent are you? It's very difficult. Remaining in grahastha ashrama and being independent is more difficult than being independent without any marriage or incentives. And that is why the avatara of Sri Krishna is very special. Similarly, the avatara of Rama is also very special. That he is going to talk about. He himself is going to say, I am Rama of all the warriors. So, when he says, I am a lion, he is trying to give you that value of independence. If you want to know being, the real strength is in being independent. The moment you become dependent, strength is gone. So all these show of strength that we talk about, so many people, is what? A clear sign of weakness. You make up externally for the lack within. You make up externally for the lack within. So he says, of the animals I am lion, of the beast. It single-handedly attacks a group of elephants because it believes in itself, himself, not in the external aspect. That is the glory of Atma. The glory of Atma is belief in oneself, not in the external world. One who believes in himself uses the external world as a tool. One who doesn't believe in himself abuses the external world as a, not as a tool, as a
end.
What?
One who believes in oneself uses the world as a tool.
Uses the external world as a tool.
Does not believe in oneself.
One who has no belief in himself, he will be abusing you, the world, for what?
Dependent.
Absolutely dependent.
Sorry?
Dependent. This fellow uses a red and throws it. Because his belief is on him, not on the world outside. That little change externally happens, the other fellow is pushed. Or even Parpala, you will get upset. Anything external, you will get upset. Immediately. Anything, you know. Whereas a person who is independent doesn't get upset. He doesn't get upset by any setup. So if you want to find me, the glory is in independence, not in dependence. Pavana pavatamasmi
pavanapavatamasmi ramashatravrutamaham ramashatravrutamaham jashanamakarashchasmi jashanamakarashchasmi strotasamasmi janavi strotasamasmi janavi pavanapavatamasmi ramashatravrutamaham jashanamakarashchasmi strotasamasmi janavi Pavana Pavatamasmi. Of purifiers, I am wind. Very, very interesting. Wind symbolizes freedom. The best purifier is wind. Why? When he talks about wind, he is talking not about the stagnant air. He is talking about moving air. Absolutely freely moving on. What pollutes is stagnation? Sin is stagnation. The moment you stagnate in any experience of the past and don't move, don't keep in pace with time, your life starts getting rotten. Isn't it? You got to keep moving from one experience to another. You got to keep moving. So he says, I am wind of purifier. Meaning, I don't stagnate. If you want to achieve the glory of the self within, your life should continue to move, live moment to moment. And also, the wind is not seen. And those who live moment to moment, they become like that. They become absolutely pure and transparent. There is no dirt accumulated in them. So it's not the contact that's the spoiler. It's the remaining in the contact that's the spoiler. This idea has to come into you. A lot of people think, oh, if I contact this, this is unspiritual, that is non-spiritual, nothing like that. The problem is not the contact, it is the refusal to move on. Isn't it? If you can move on, there is nothing, no problem. So the idea is to move on. Any place you stay for more than a few days, you get attached. Like in the train when they travel for 3 days together, Jammu Tawi Express, people start becoming attached. 3 days, 3 nights, you are traveling the same train. You get attached. When you go on a cruise, 7 day cruise, terribly attached. Swami is just short of exchanging horoscopes. You have a son, I have a daughter, this thing, that thing. In other words, due to your attachment, the mind becomes more solid. The mind becomes more solid, the self inside is not visible. When the attachment goes, mind becomes transparent, self becomes visible. So I am the wind of all purifiers. Like wind, I must move freely, not get stuck. That is what he is trying to say. Wind does not mean you sit and start worshipping wind. Bhagavan has said in Gita, I am wind. So you are worshipping wind. You have to understand what he is trying to tell you. Now the next one is even more significant. I am Rama of warriors. Very, very interesting. He is comparing Rama to a warrior. What is the beauty about Ram and warrior? Why is he so special of all the warriors? You will not find it difficult to accept when you see weapon in Ravana. But you find it difficult to see weapon in Ram. You will never find a picture of Lord Ram without bow and arrow. Even in his wedding picture, he is a bow and arrow, as it were. What is this very special about Rama?
Weapon of justice?
to fight for the right.
Weapon of justice, okay.
One to all fight for the right thing.
Right thing.
For what's right.
All is ready.
Huh?
All is ready. Ready. So he doesn't have to use it. But he's always ready. Armed and ready.
Ready for what? Is he a war monger?
For one duty. For dharma. When required.
Is warrior negative
here? I'm not saying it is negative.
Is a warrior a negative term?
No. What is so special about Rama of all warriors? See, till the power comes to us, all of us are good people.
In spite of power.
The moment power comes, it corrupts. I think it's Bacon who said, no? Power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. Actually, it's not true entirely. In the sense, it's not true in all conditions. One who can remain uncorrupted with absolute power is Rama. In other words, you cannot judge him by his action. See, any man of perfection should not be judged by his action. Because in our case, when we do something, we come back with a taint.
Come back with a taint.
With a taint of that action. He does that and comes out with no taint of it. It's not easy. Please understand what I'm trying to say. You are a very good person till you get some power. The moment you get some power, being weak inside, you will start exercising that power on all the weak people around you. Right? When Ram got the weapons with him, he's only trying to symbolize to say that his actions was never corrupting him. He, the power in his hands never corrupted him. Not at all. It is for justice, when he had to use the weapon, he used it. But then, he never ever allowed himself to be tainted by that action of us. So if you want to know the glory of Brahman, you got to go beyond the action. But unfortunately, whenever we talk to a master or anybody, we try to judge him by his action. By action when you judge, you will never be able to understand man of perfection. You have your own picture of man of perfection. Such actions that somebody is doing, you will accept. You will never find any difficulty in accepting Mahavir as a great man. Lord Buddha as a great man. But you will find it very difficult to understand Krishna as a great man. You accept now because you have been conditioned from childhood to believe in God. Killing so many people on the battlefield of Kurukshetra when Arjuna said, I will not fight. Who can such a person be God? You understand? To be able to go through and come out without any taint. You try, go and stay in somebody's house. First few days in a little difficult, any conditions, you know, when you go, any city, but when you shift, first few years, nahi hoga, ye nahi hoga, wo nahi hoga. Uske baad, they say, no, 7 years each. Marriage also. First 7 years you don't know, then it will break. Uske baad, you start talking about living for 100 years together. And the next gen also we should be born again as a husband and wife and all these things continues. Why? Because of attachment. To be able to go through and come out without any taint. That is the duty of Ram. He goes through everything and comes out with no taint. He did not fight that battle for Sita, to get back Sita. He just lived his life as a Brahma. The entire, you and me, us, ordinary people, as ordinary people, Ram is compared as in Purana has been told as avatar. Right? We are not avatar. He is considered as an avatar. For you and me, we know there is no such thing as golden deer.
Nothing else?
Golden deer. Oh, you will golden deer. To say that
golden deer.
To say that Lord Ram, who was an avatar, got enchanted by the golden deer, and to accept that is utter foolishness. All that they are trying to say is, all that they are trying to say is, Ram simply played his role. He was just enacting a drama. You see, there is a certain role given to you. Simply came, enacted the role and went away. It's very difficult. We are not playing the role. We are getting involved. An actor on the stage is what it implies here. When you talk about Ram, a perfect actor. And he is playing the role of a son, perfect role. And he is playing the role of a husband, perfect husband. Playing the role of a king, perfect king. You know? Absolutely never allowed his other roles to interfere. Impossible. That is Ram. It's not that he didn't know all this. He simply did it as a role. He never allowed his actions to take him. But whenever we judge any person, we'll go by action. You will never be able to judge a man of perfection through his action. It's impossible.
What is the other tool one can judge that? What is another tool that one can judge by?
How
you can never judge. You can never judge a man of perfection. Because you should never judge anybody, especially a man of perfection. Because you will go by actions. Isn't it? You will go by manifestation. See, somebody goes to Ram Tirtha and says, why cannot I smoke? Vivekananda also smoked. And what kind of a person Vivekananda was? How can I accept him as a great man? Ram Tirtha says, you forget about Vivekananda smoking and all that. You do all that Vivekananda did and you will also smoke. Another context, somebody goes to Swami Vivekananda and says, what is wrong if I smoke? Why not I smoke? Yes, please smoke. As long as you can be free without it also. You understand? You see, in a certain situation, they go through a certain action and they keep moving. Ram is like that. He never allowed his role to interfere. He remains untainted. Never allowed power to corrupt him. So if you want the power not to corrupt you, what do you have to do? Don't hanker after power. First gain control over your mind. This is exactly what Sri Krishna advised Arjuna. Go and read verse 38, chapter 2. Just read the translation. Not Sadabhanya. Verse 38, chapter 2 translation, can you read it?
Joy and sorrow, victory and defeat, gain and loss alike, and prepare yourself for battle.
Treating alike,
pleasure and pain,
gain and loss,
victory
and defeat,
get ready for battle.
Get ready for battle.
You're not fear that
you. So Ram is somebody who was treating alike pleasure and pain, joy and sorrow, victory and defeat, and getting ready for battle.
You said, no, ready. Getting ready for battle means what? He is treating alike, everything is alike for him.
He is just doing the role of a drama.
You understand? As per the drama. Push it on. No power, corruption, nothing, tension. Be like Rama. So find me in Rama. Meaning, find me in that, within you.
When you can treat yourself,
same.
Everything same, in any situation same. And of fishes, I am shark.
The Makara word also could mean crocodile.
Shark is very swift and very strongest in water, in that sense. Also, crocodile, if you take it as crocodile, crocodile is strong when it is in water. Similarly, when you are in consciousness, you are strongest. When you move away from consciousness, you become weak. When you give in to desire, desire is nothing but moving away from awareness. So in that sense, I am the Janvi, Ganga of all the rivers. What is so special about Ganga? If you go to the Purana, it is said that it is flowing from heaven. Leaving aside Purana and all that, very very interesting, you know, people go to Ganga, they bring Ganga water and give you. You keep it for many days, you will still not find bacteria in it. Very very interesting. Isn't that our experience? Something special about it. So I am Ganga of all rivers, eternally flowing. That eternal flowing that keeps it fresh. And that is what he is talking about. That is me. Eternally present, flowing and always remaining pure. Next week we'll meet again and discuss the other. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.
सकलं परस्महि सकलं परस्महि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि नारायणायेति समर्पयामि.